It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. There's a way to work with the dog to prevent biting. Laura Kennedy is in the studio with a dog trainer and another special guest, Laura.
Her name is Daisy. She is a beautiful... Oh, all I had to do was say her name and her tail started wagging. She is a beautiful dog, and she belongs to Bob Ryder of Positive Transformations. And as Mike said, National Dog Bite Prevention Week is this week. It focuses on educating people about preventing dog bites. So we're talking with Bob about how to do your best to make sure that your dog doesn't bite. Hopefully your dog wouldn't bite, but maybe he would bite. Right, but thank you so much for being with us, Bob. I want to ask you, first of all, why do dogs bite? What is the impetus there?
I think the most common reason dogs bite, certainly in my experience and from what I know of colleagues and research that professionals do looking into this, the most common reason is because the dog is afraid, either afraid of somebody coming onto their property, afraid of something that looks maybe unfamiliar or scary, such as a bicycle or perhaps a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs might bite because lots of toddlers and babies are bitten because a dog doesn't know what to make of this little creature that moves strangely. So fear is the main reason.
What about possessiveness?
Sure. The technical term for dogs biting for possessions or protecting their possessions is called resource guarding. Very common reason for aggression. And
so maybe if you have somebody that they want to play with the dog has a toy or a bone, and that person tries to reach for that, and the dog feels like, no, that's mine, keep your hands off of it, that might get the dog to bite.
Sure. It's meant to say, hey, don't touch that. That belongs to me. It might happen by a food or water bowl toward a favorite toy, or perhaps just a comfortable position on a piece of furniture that the dog doesn't want to be at risk of losing.
How much does prey drive factor into it?
Prey drive is also a common reason for dog bites. It's interesting, at least to me, to understand that predatory behavior is different than aggression. Aggression is always meant to make a problem go away. It's trying to increase the distance between whatever the dog perceives the problem or the threat to be and the dog. Predatory behavior is a dog deciding that this is, you know, someone or something that I want to catch and, you know, perhaps bite as if, you know, one of his ancestors would be shopping for dinner.
Well, Bob, what types of training helps with controlling dogs? In your business, you hear from people who their dogs have already had an incident of biting someone, and they want to keep the dog from biting again. What sort of training do you employ?
A couple different strategies go into it. The first, you could categorize them all under training, although there's some differences, as you'll hear. All good training begins with good management, good environmental control. In the case of Joe, who was cycling past, the easiest way to prevent that bite well before you do any training is just to keep the dogs carefully confined, either inside the farmhouse or inside a yard. Tethered is a distant second best option. But anything that can prevent the dog from getting to someone, obviously, is going to prevent a bite from happening. After that, the best training technique overall is positive reinforcement training, teaching the dog to cooperate or respond to whatever the owner signals it to do for food rewards or the opportunity to play with a toy.
You were giving Daisy treats earlier. I say treats. She just looked at me like, yes.
She knows that word.
So
yeah.
She knows that. That's how she's been trained.
Yeah. Everything that Daisy knows how to do, she has learned by my setting her up for making a little move or perhaps a piece of the overall behavior and rewarding with a food treat. Often I use a clicker or make a little sound such as yes to let her know the exact instant she's done the right behavior or gone the right direction, and then that's followed with a food reward. And the benefit there is that it's a low-stress, friendly, gentle technique. Aggression is also almost always a response to stress. So I'm 100% against any training technique that involves aversive punishment methods, which is to say, if or when the dog makes a mistake, the dog is reprimanded or physically hurt, pinched, you know, the leash is yanked, a shock is delivered. That all increases stress and makes aggression much more likely.
You're listening to GLT Sound Ideas. It's National Dog Bite Prevention Week. I'm talking with Bob Ryder of Positive Transformations. If you've got a question for Bob about dogs' behavior and biting, you can give us a call, 309-438-8910. We would love to hear from you. Now, a lot of dogs, particularly when they're puppies, do play biting. You know, that's part of, you know, the play with a lot, sure, of them. Just not breaking the skin, just sort of doing a little gnawing on the hand, that sort of thing. Is that setting a bad habit, letting a dog play bite?
Well, yes, I wouldn't be as concerned about it turning into aggression. I would be more worried in that case about it turning into, as you just said, a bad habit. Play biting is a normal, natural behavior for dogs, and puppies learn to inhibit their bite most often and mostly by playing with their litter mates. The, mm-hmm, the logic for a puppy goes, the fun continues and I get to play and jump and wrestle with my litter mates until I use my teeth too hard. And as soon as I bite or pinch too hard with my mouth, the fun stops. My litter mates, my brothers and sisters, run away and won't play with me anymore. So the dog learns to use their mouth more and more softly in order to keep the fun going. It's, again, that's not aggression. But a dog who has learned good bite inhibition is much more likely to use their mouth softly when they do become aggressive.
Are there warning signs, Bob, that a dog is about to bite?
Yes, there are lots of warning signs, and they're very easy to miss for somebody who doesn't know how to interpret canine body language.
So if like we're just happen to come across a dog who's roaming free and we don't have dogs, mm-hmm, these are things we need to be looking out for.
Yeah, there's a psychological technique called thin slicing where all of my trainer friends who know canine body language know how to recognize a dog who is likely to bite just by seeing one or two pieces of information. They don't need, you know, minutes of video or minutes of exposure to the dog. They can tell if the dog suddenly becomes still or, you know, glares at a person and their eyes become kind of still and hard. If their posture is more leaning forward, that's a good sign that the dog is not happy to have you around. If the dog's lips are puckered, picture, you know, your mom when she made an angry face at you if you did something as a child, and oftentimes the lips would be pushed forward. The eyes might be squinty and hard. Dogs have very similar facial expressions. On the other hand, a dog who has loose, happy, relaxed, wiggly body language, and if their tail is wagging in such a way that the whole back half of the dog is kind of wiggling along with it, mm-hmm, that's a sign that the dog is relaxed and not likely to become aggressive.
Well, to help our dogs not bite, should we avoid playing aggressive games with them, like a sort of a tug-of-war type of thing or anything like that?
Sometimes. One of my favorite writers and speakers, Patricia McConnell, talks about dog questions about dog behavior by saying the right answer to any question about dogs always begins with "it depends."
All right.
And in this case, it does depend. Lots of my clients ask or tell me that they don't want to play tug of war with their dog because they've heard that that will make the dog aggressive. And that's absolutely not true. There are dogs who might become more excited by a game. And if they're already aggressive, that can amp up the chance, but it won't create a problem that isn't already there. In fact, I use tug of war with lots of my clients to teach the dog good self-control so that they learn when they have permission to take the toy, even if they're excited. And if they try to take the toy without permission, the toy goes away, that they need to let go of the toy when they're asked to, so that they learn to turn on and off their excitement and have good habits.
Well, quickly, another question about kids and dogs. And kids love to hug dogs. Is this just setting the kid up for possibly getting hugged or getting bit because dogs don't like to be hugged?
My goodness, yes. Humans love to hug, and that doesn't come naturally or is not received easily at all by dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell all of my clients that kids and dogs should always be carefully supervised every moment that they're together, and that children should be encouraged to just be gentle and easygoing, not grab or pinch, not just play with the dog unsupervised, not to climb on the dog, but that a parent or a guardian should be carefully supervising the interaction, helping the dog to be calm and low-key when the children are around.
Okay, Bob Ryder from Positive Transformations, thank you so much for joining us today. We actually have a question from Peoria, from Byron, who has a question with regards to a dog and biting. And so we'd like to welcome Byron from Peoria to Sound Ideas. Byron, you want to ask Bob your question?
Yes. My wife and I have a dog rescue in Peoria. And then we get dogs from overseas that were originally with the soldiers in Afghanistan. And we just received a dog to foster until we have it adopted. And the dog is from Cana in Jordan. Mm-hmm. So I think it was taken away from its mother too soon. It's a relatively large dog, really, really pretty dog. But he doesn't have some of the skills to, like, he doesn't know, he bites very playfully, but he's a large dog, and so we would like to be able to control that nipping that he does, but he does it when he's really happy and frisky, especially when we feed him. So how do we get him not to nip like that? He doesn't do it to bite to hurt. He just bites playfully, but
sure.
He's a big dog, so it's a little bit more than what the wife and I can handle without having to actually put him down like it. You know, we just
sure, the quick,
grab the collar quite, yeah.
The quick answer to your question is I would have a twofold approach. The one is I would restrain the dog back away from where you're putting the food or the water bowl down so that he doesn't get a chance to bite and let, or to play bite, that is, and let you or whoever's working with the dog move away from the food bowl so that he doesn't get a chance to make the mistake. And when you have the time and you're doing a training session, you might do a technique called negative punishment, which kind of sounds awful, but the logic is that when the dog uses his mouth inappropriately, the fun or the food or the toy goes away. So the dog learns to inhibit his bite and in such a way that, you know, the more gently, the more calm, the more self-controlled I am with my mouth, the more the fun and the opportunity for food or toys continues. I see that we're running out of time. Forgive me if you'll hang on the line after the call or email me. I'll be glad to tell you a little bit more about this. I see that our time is closing. Laura?
Byron, thank you so much for calling today. Again, hang on the line so that we can have more. You can talk more with Bob Ryder from Positive Transformations, who joined us today on Sound Ideas and was lovely enough to bring up his beautiful lab, Daisy, who is a model of behavior here during Sound Ideas.